Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. In just a moment, I want to talk to William Lane Craig, who's research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology. But before I do, a common mistake that Christians make derives from the notion that someone can be talked into the kingdom of God. The motivation might be sincere. The consequences, however, are often devastating. No matter how eloquent you may or may not be, you can't talk anyone into the kingdom. You can't change anyone else's heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. While it's your responsibility to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, it is God who changes the heart. The problem is not that people cannot believe. It is all too often that they will not believe. In other words, it is often not a matter of the mind, it's a matter of the will. That's what Jesus was talking about when he said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." The Christian faith is reasonable, but reason by itself will not compel anyone to embrace Christ. I'm utterly convinced that if we are prepared to give an answer, God will bring into our paths those whose hearts he has prepared. Thus, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to prepare ourselves to be the most effective tools in the hands of Almighty God. And one of the resources that will help you be an effective tool in the hands of Almighty God is a book titled On Guard, Defending Your Faith with Reason and Precision. Lee Strobel, my good friend, wrote the foreword to this book, and he says, in part, that we live in a world where the media trumpets claims by skeptics, best-selling books hawk atheism, and university professors seem bent on destroying the beliefs of young Christians. And therefore, it's increasingly important for all of us to be able to articulate the reasons why our faith makes sense. And that's why this book On Guard is so absolutely vital. In its pages, you'll learn the most compelling arguments in favor of Christianity. And not only that, but you'll also find out how to respond to the most popular objections to those arguments. You'll discover that On Guard is factual, personal, practical, and ultimately convincing in its presentation of the case for Christianity. So says Lee Strobel, devour the book, read the book, then reread the book, underline the book, highlight the book, make notes in the margins of the book, study the book, debate it with your friends, become conversant with its logic and teachings, try out its points with skeptical friends, and in the end, here's my prediction. You'll emerge stronger in your own faith and much more confident in sharing Christ with others. Joining me now, the author of On Guard, William Lane Craig. Good to have you on the broadcast.
Thank you, Hank. Good to be with you.
Why is apologetics, from your perspective, so important?
Well, I think there's several reasons. One reason would be it's a means of creating a culture in which Christianity can still be heard as a viable option for thinking people. My wife and I lived for 13 years in Europe, and the prevailing culture in Europe is so deeply secular, so post-Christian, that to invite people to believe in Jesus Christ is like inviting them to believe in the tooth fairy. It seems that absurd to them. Part of the task of apologetics is to shape a cultural milieu or context here in the United States where the gospel can still be heard as a viable option for people. So that would be one reason. A second reason I think it's so important is because of the effects in the life of the believer himself. As Christians, we're called not just to be converts to Christ, but to be disciples, that is, learners of Christ. And part of learning to love God with all of our minds is being equipped to articulate what we believe and why we believe it. And when we go through times of doubt or spiritual dryness, this can be tremendously helpful in persevering in the Christian faith rather than just riding the emotional roller coaster. And then the third reason, I think, is that it's a vital tool in evangelism. We see people coming to Christ all the time through giving presentations of the gospel coupled with an intellectual defense of the truth claims of the Christian faith. So for those three reasons, I think that the study of the defense of the faith is a vital part of Christian maturity and Christian discipleship.
I've oftentimes said that the real issue is never evangelism. The real issue is equipping for evangelism. If you're equipped to communicate the gospel, you're going to have the most incredible experience, the power of the Holy Spirit moving through you in the process of changing another life for time and for eternity. Talk about the fruit of becoming an equipped evangelist.
Well, I think it will make you bolder and more forthright in your sharing Christ. I see this happen on university campuses where I do debates with university professors, and the Christian side usually emerges head and shoulders above the non-Christian position in these debates. And the bracing effect that this has upon Christian students is just tangible. They get so excited to share their faith because they're convinced it's true. They can give good reasons for why they believe what they do. They're proud to be Christians rather than ashamed. And so I think there's few things that can make a person a bolder and more faithful witness for Christ than having good answers to the unbeliever's questions and good reasons for what you believe.
Speaking of your debates, an argument you use in almost all of your debates goes something like this: whatever begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist, therefore the universe has a cause. How is that argument a powerful counter to the notion of philosophical naturalism?
Well, what it shows is that the natural world is not all there is. The natural world came into being at some point in the finite past, and since something just doesn't come into being from nothing, it shows that there has to be a literally supra-natural, transcendent cause beyond the natural order upon which the natural order depends for its very existence. So this is, I think, a very powerful argument for a supernatural reality and therefore for the falsity of naturalism, which says that nature is all there is.
In your book, you contend that the moral argument is the most effective of all arguments for the existence of God. Why?
I think the reason is that it really connects with people where they live. You can ignore the evidence for the beginning of the universe and live your life in a normal way if you want to. You can ignore the evidence for design and get by in life. But every day you get up, you answer the question by how you live, whether or not you think other people have objective moral value or are just worthless animated bits of matter to be used for your own purposes. So the moral argument is inescapable because every day by how we live, we answer the question of whether we think there are objective morals and duties. And therefore, we're faced with the question, if there are such things, where do they come from? What's their basis? How do you explain it?
Talking to William Lane Craig. He's research professor of philosophy at Talbot School of Theology, a tremendous apologist and debater, and author of On Guard. It's a book that you need in your library. It's available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order it online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. How significant, Dr. Craig, is the issue of cosmic origins?
Well, I think it's one of the many arguments for the existence of God. I think we're living at a time in history where physical science is more open to the existence of a creator and designer of the universe than at any time in recent memory. And so I think we have very powerful grounds for thinking that the universe is not eternal, that it's not all there is, that it's dependent upon a supernatural cause. And if that's true, that narrows down the field of the world's religions to basically the great monotheistic faiths like Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, because it eliminates pantheism, it eliminates naturalism, it eliminates polytheism. Really, this notion that the universe has a transcendent creator and designer narrows the field down to basically these great monotheisms.
In a chapter that's titled, What About Suffering?, you write this: the health and wealth gospel and the gospel of positive thinking that are being proclaimed in various megachurches and denominations are false gospels that are setting people up for a fall. How so?
Because it leads people to expect that anyone who is really walking with God will lead a life that is free of suffering, that is prosperous and materially happy. And since that is false, people will be devastated when they encounter pointless and seemingly gratuitous suffering in the lives of their themselves, their family, their children. And those people will be racked with doubt and disappointment with God because they're believing in a sort of Santa Claus deity that is not the God of the Bible.
One of the things that I love are the books that are excellent in terms of their content, but also very well laid out. And I think On Guard certainly meets those requirements. Talk about the format of the book for just a moment.
Well, it begins with a chapter on the absurdity of life without God to motivate people to think about this question, because in our day and age, apathy is the greatest enemy, I think, the sort of whatever attitude. And then it goes into four chapters that give positive reasons to believe that God exists. Following that case for God, I then have the chapter on the problem of suffering and evil in the world, which is the most powerful evidence against God, I think, and try to answer that. Then, having established that God exists, we move into the person of Jesus of Nazareth and ask, who did Jesus of Nazareth think himself to be? And I show how the historical Jesus made these radical personal claims by which he put himself in the very place of God. And then I look at the historical evidence for Jesus' resurrection, which I think is God's vindication of those radical personal claims for which he was crucified. And finally, we look at the objection so current in society today that Christ cannot be the only way to God, that all religions or most religions are equally valid paths of salvation. And I defend the view that Christ and Christ alone is God's chosen path of salvation. So that the book as a total gives you a full case for the Christian faith, as well as answers to the principal objections that are brought against it.
Thank you so much, Bill. We'll try to put this book into the hands of as many people as possible so that they might be always prepared to give an answer.
Well, thank you very much.
God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
The book On Guard, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Do you worry that someone will ask you a question about your faith that you can't answer? Have you tried to learn how to defend your faith but have gotten lost in confusing language and theology? Do you struggle with times of spiritual doubt yourself? If so, the book On Guard is for you. It is just an excellent resource, not only to read, but to read and reread, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can order online at equip.org in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web. You can also speak with our resource consultants. 888-7000-CRI is the number. Or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. On the other side of the break, we'll be taking your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. Without your prayers and support, we simply cannot continue on the station to which you are now listening to my voice. So stand with us prayerfully and financially if you can. We'll be right back with more.
2010 marks 50 years of faithful ministry, reaching believers in over 200 countries. Since our inception, we've made it a top priority to identify and provide you with the very best books and resources that'll stimulate your spiritual growth and maturity. Finding and purchasing these specially selected resources has never been easier. Just log on to equip.org and click on the eStore tab. That's equip.org. You can also order these resources by contacting our resource consultants by phone at 888-7000-274. But don't touch that dial. Hank will be right back after this short break. Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more. Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. Has Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the Word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled "Has God Spoken?" definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of "Has God Spoken?" on audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we're going to go right to our phone callers. So let's go right to John listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. It's good talking to you.
What an honor to speak with you. I've been listening to your program for a long time. I love it.
Thank you.
I just had to make a bit of editorial comment, if I may.
Sure.
I think the word apologetics, I understand the import, is an extremely poor choice for a defense of the faith that is so wonderful, so powerful, and absolutely so true. Every time I hear the word, I don't know about anyone else, but every time I hear the word apologetics, it sounds like we're, in secular terms, apologizing for what we believe.
Well, you make a good point. Words go through time, and they take on the barnacles of time, and they become connotative instead of denotative. So I think you make a good point. I mean, we're talking about the defense of the faith, and it's very important that when we mention apologetics, we define what we mean by what
I
we're saying.
So.
Because, denotatively, it comes from the Greek, apologia. And therefore, it makes sense. But you're
it
right.
Does.
To the average ear, it is very connotative today.
It is. It absolutely is. The one thing I would love to spend an hour just talking to you on the phone. It would be great, but I won't burn up your listeners' time. I think, as I've told so many people who don't believe, I just tell them straightforwardly, Frank, let me just tell you one thing, sir or ma'am. I can assure you that you absolutely will have the opportunity to explain your beliefs and your position to the Almighty Himself face to face. I can assure you that will happen eventually.
Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the graves will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally condemned. Hey, thanks for
indeed.
Your call, John.
Thanks you very much. Have a great evening. God bless you.
God bless you as well. Back to the phone lines. Israel, listening on KELP in El Paso, Texas next. Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Hank. How are you?
Wonderful. I was reminded every day this last month of you a lot, watching the Dutch play in the World Cup.
Well, I rooted with all my heart, but came up empty.
You guys did great. All hail the Dutch. I have a question. I was talking to a skeptic friend of mine a while ago, and I was trying to explain the resurrection of Jesus Christ, trying to give him some evidence. You know, saying that the disciples died for their faith, you know, and they no one would die for what to be a known lie. And he kind of came back at me saying, well, how do you know that they actually died, you know, for that they were actually martyred? And I couldn't give him anything besides oral tradition.
Well, so it's not just oral tradition. I mean, we have all kinds of written tradition. You look at Josephus or Tacitus. In fact, I was writing a book, and in that book recently I talked about Plinius the Younger, also known as Pliny the Youngest, who was famous for interrogation, torture, and murder of Christians. And by his own account, in his own hand, he says he extracted information from two church deaconesses, and he used torture to do so. And his manner was simply to ask three times whether you were a follower of Jesus Christ. If the answer was yes, Plinius writes, I order them to be taken away for execution. Whatever they have admitted to, I am sure that their stubbornness and inflexible obstinacy ought to be punished. If a person responded by denying the faith, Plinius had them repeat an invocation to the gods, offer rites, wine and incense before the statue of Trajan, and with utter imprecations to, at the same time, curse the name of Jesus Christ. So he speaks in his own hand about murdering Christians. And you see this in the annals of Tacitus, as I said, Flavius Josephus, who was a Jewish historian writing to please the Romans. We know that Paul was martyred. But more than that, we see complete agreement by all credible thinkers that Nero persecuted Christians, and that during the Neronian persecution, Christians were dipped in tar, lit ablaze. We know that they were torn apart in hippodromes. We also know that such eminent scholars as Dr. Simon Greenleaf, who you might recall was the famous Royale Professor of Law at Harvard, and perhaps the greatest American authority on common law evidence of the 19th century, wrote about the very torture and vilification of Christians, and that in the midst of cruel deaths, they continued to testify to the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Wow. Well, that's a lot.
Yeah, there's ample evidence, and it's extra-biblical evidence, not just biblical evidence, that Christians suffered and were martyred for their faith. They were persecuted, and it was the persecuted church who believed in the reality of resurrection that ended up turning an empire upside down, because they knew that though they died, yet they would live.
Right. But we see a lot of persecution nowadays. I guess you keep mentioning China. I see it right over the border in Juarez, Mexico, my friend.
Yeah, you're right. You see it all over the world, and we need to pray for the persecuted church, but even more than that, pray that the persecuted church is praying for us, because I have seen authentic New Testament Christianity in action, and it is a shame to those of us in the West.
Right. Well, we'll keep praying, and we'll keep praying that God touch all Christians in America and as well as all over the world. You're the man. Again, you're the man.
Hey, thank you so much for calling, my friend.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Andrea next, listening in Springfield, Missouri. Hi.
Hi, Hank. I'm a new listener, so I'm sure you've probably already answered this question before.
Uh-huh.
I am having some really good, deep discussions with a coworker who is not a believer, and our conversations as of late have really started to stump me. Last night I was speaking with her, and we were talking about how, everyone who is born is condemned because of our sin nature, and that we have to choose to believe in Christ and become a part of his family. And she asked me where in the scriptures I could tell her about, at what age or at what time in a person's life they would begin to be held accountable for that choice of choosing Christ or not choosing him.
Yeah, a good question, but I think you have to start with something that precedes that particular issue, and that is the nature of God himself.
Yes.
We know that God wants a relationship with us. If, in fact, he suffered more than any man, more than the cumulative sufferings of humankind, so that he could have a relationship with us for time and for eternity, we can suppose that he's not just going to capriciously say, you as a child didn't have the capacity to choose me, therefore you're out. That's not the point. The point is, those who do not want a relationship with God in this life are not going to be forced into that relationship in eternity. So those who genuinely, on the other hand, want a relationship with Jesus Christ, he is never going to turn away. So that's the premise that comes from the nature of God himself. All who want a relationship will have that relationship, and we can extend that to people even prior to what we would call an age of accountability. Okay. We find in Matthew 18 that Jesus pointed to children as examples of those who will, according to Jesus Christ, inherit the kingdom of heaven. And we see in 2 Samuel the poignant story of David, who expresses belief that one day he's going to be with his child, the child who had died. And those passages are passages that demonstrate the nature of God with respect to children. He loves children, and he would never drive them away. He didn't do it during his earthly sojourn, so there's no possibility that he's going to do it in eternity.
Okay. And I'm assuming that, you know, goes along with someone who would have a mental handicap as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And you also have to recognize this, that we are called into account for the light that we had. Mm-hmm. There is light that we have, according to the Apostle Paul, that comes from creation. There is light, according to the Apostle Paul, in the second chapter of Romans, that comes from conscience. And there's the evidence that if we respond to the light we have, God will give us more light. And Paul argues this, actually, at the Areopagus. He says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the entire earth. He determined the exact times and places that they should live, and he did that so that we might reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So the real issue is this. Light came into darkness. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. If we respond to the light, God's going to give us more light and certainly will not reject us on capricious grounds. We can know that of a certainty based on the nature of God. We have this situation. We lost a child, baby Grace, and we have no doubt whatsoever that that child will be running into our arms in eternity, based on the very nature of God.
Well, I really appreciate it. When she asked me this yesterday, I told her, I said, well, I'm going to try to talk to Hank, and she had never heard of you. So I gave her the radio station call letters, and she may be listening now. So I'm anxious to share what you said with her.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Hope to have further contact with you in the future. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Hank. Goodbye.
And, of course, we will be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we go to break, I want to remind you once again that I did a message on what I consider one of the most significant issues ever, and that is the authority of Scripture. What is your authority? Is it the Quran? Is it the Book of Mormon? Is it some other religious book? What is your authority? We say the Bible is our authority, and we say that because we believe that God has spoken, that these are 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting. And we can demonstrate that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin. So that's not just an odd predilection on our part, it's faith in fact. Has God Spoken is a CD available for your gift this month. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered countless questions over the years on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and that's why he's developed the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, to equip you to be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have within you. Many of the questions we receive on the broadcast concern the end times, and that's why Hank has also written the Apocalypse Code, a tool to help you not only understand the Book of Revelation, but the entire Bible as a synergistic whole. For your generous gift of $100 or more, Hank would like to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition or the Apocalypse Code as a means of equipping you and furthering the ministry of CRI. To partner with us, just call 888-7000-274 or log on to equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will be right back after this.
Hey. Has God spoken? Muslims say the Quran is the word of God, and likewise, Mormons claim the Book of Mormon is the most correct of any book on earth. But has God really spoken through the Quran or the Book of Mormon, or has God spoken through the Bible? As a Christian, knowing the answer to this question is essential to defending and sharing your faith. And as a supporter of this ministry, we want to equip you with the wisdom to answer this question decisively and to remember the answer for a lifetime. Passionately delivered at the 2010 National Conference in Tampa Bay, Florida, Hank Hanegraaff's message titled, Has God Spoken?, definitely answers that very question. To support the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute and request your copy of Has God Spoken? On audio CD, call our resource consultants toll-free at 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, and thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. Defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. We now return to the program with Hank Hanegraaff, host of The Bible Answer Man.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we will immediately return to our callers as well. Next up is James, listening on WTRU, Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, James.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? First-time listener, it's really good listening to you. I just got recently saved about a year ago.
Well, good to have you on the broadcast.
But I got a question. I had to change my question, actually, because of the gentleman. I didn't have to, but I have a coworker who is a very he's very academic and he's very smart, but he's always breaking down Christians in debate. He almost seeks them out, and he just breaks them down and talks about how the Bible is not historically accurate, and he just starts whittling them down, backing them to a corner. And I think he's taking advantage of the turning the other cheek that he knows they're going to do. And I've just been watching this. So what do I do? I'm not supposed to confront him. What do I do, Hank?
Well, I think you can. with gentleness and with respect. And if he gives you an argument and you don't know the answer to that argument, you say, that's a good argument. I don't know what the answer to that argument is, but I'll find out. And in that process, you'll become equipped. And I'll promise you something else. Once you learn how to counter the argument, and I haven't found any arguments that do not have a good counter to them, the reason being Christianity is that which corresponds to reality. It's truth, and therefore we have an unfair fight on our hands, and that unfair fight is all in our favor. We have all the evidence on our side of the issue. An atheist can come up to you and say, nothing produced everything, and you can scratch your head and say, wow, you have a lot of faith, but that is not well-founded faith for sure. But that's why I recommend books like On Guard by William Lane Craig, Defending Your Faith with Reason and Precision. We're called to equip ourselves. We're called to always be ready to give an answer. And that takes work. It takes effort, but the rewards are monumental. So invest yourself in learning to be ready to give an answer. And again, if you don't have the answer, simply say, I don't know what the answer is, but I'll research and return. In the process, you'll learn. I've been doing that for over 30 years, so I'm learning more and more and more, and as a result, becoming a more effective witness, a more effective tool. But the more you learn, I promise you this, the more you realize how little you know, and you'll develop a thirst for learning, not for the sake of learning alone, but for the sake of using your life so that the Holy Spirit can move through you and change other lives for time and for eternity. At the end, this is not a game. This is about where you're going to spend eternity. And every single person that does not know Jesus Christ is not an adversary, but an opportunity.
Wow, Hank, I really appreciate it. I just got to be all slow to anger just because he's very confrontive and disrespectful. But you're right, Hank. I appreciate it very much. God bless you.
God bless you, James. Want to go back to the phone lines. From James, we'll go to Joseph. He's listening in New England. Hi, Joseph.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you? You're doing good?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm not New England. It's Nebraska.
Oh, Andy. Nebraska.
Yeah.
I don't know my abbreviations.
I had a question about King David in the Old Testament. When God commanded him to take a census of the people, he did that and then later on apologized for it and asked for punishment. And I was wondering why he did that specifically. I mean, was he led astray by, you know, the enemy, or was he just confused? I don't really know.
Well, I think we have to look at this in context, and what you find in context, and I mean in the context of all of Scripture, because that passage is cited several times in the Bible. If you look at 2 Samuel, you'll find that God told David to take a census, and if you look at Chronicles, it says Satan incited David to take a census. The passages demonstrate that although Satan incited David, ultimately it was God who allowed Satan to carry out the provocation. Satan's design was to destroy David and to destroy the people of God in the process. But it was God's plan and it was his purpose to humble David and then to teach his people a valuable lesson. Because here's what's going on. Instead of trusting solely on God, David had begun to trust in his military might. And David himself, you see so clearly in context, has a sense of guilt. And there's an uneasiness on the part of his general Joab. And that indicates that they were both well aware that they were on dangerous ground in taking the census. So they already knew that to fall for the provocation of Satan was to distrust God. They knew that this was against the very command of God. And yet they failed the test because in the end, they wanted to depend on the arm of flesh as opposed to depending on the arm of God.
Okay. So essentially, David was provoked by the devil to trust in his people and in his numbers, and instead of turning towards God, who had supported him through all the previous conflicts.
Yeah, absolutely. That's perfectly stated. That's exactly what the issue is, and we're tempted every single day by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's why we must put on the full armor of God and know what each piece of the armor ultimately represents.
Excellent. Thank you very much. God bless.
God bless you. And I've written about this with respect to spiritual warfare in a book called The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil. If you put on the full armor of God, or the covering as I call it, you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are then a guaranteed casualty. Again, The Covering, God's Plan to Protect You from Evil, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak with our resource consultants, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk next to Carol in New Jersey. Hi, Carol.
Hi, am I on the air?
Absolutely.
Oh, hi, Hank. How are you?
Good.
Good. I have a quick question. A couple of things. I've heard this from another Bible teacher. You may know who I'm talking about after I give you my question. Number one, are we in the Great Tribulation right now? And is salvation a lottery where only 200 million people will be saved?
Well, it's not a lottery in which only 200 million people will be saved. Christianity is a faith in which we have belief in God, who not only created us, but also has provided a way for us to be reconciled to Him, because He created us as volitional beings. We had the opportunity to reject His love or to receive His love. So when Adam fell into perpetual sin, terminated by death, the rest of the Bible becomes God's unfolding plan of redemption, which culminates in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. All who wish to have a relationship with God can have that relationship with God. We have the light of creation, the light of conscience, and if we respond to that, we can have the light of Christ. So the Bible is about God's way of reconciling people to Himself, not just for time, but for eternity. And it's about paradise lost becoming paradise restored, so that we can live in a pristine universe in which we can forever serve and love the very one who redeemed us by His grace. So it's not a lottery for a select few. It's an opportunity for all who do not reject the goodness of God, but rather receive His grace and His goodness.
See, this other teacher said only 1 in 70 people that were ever created from the beginning could obtain this inheritance. It's only available to 1 in 70.
Yeah, well, you know what you ought to do is change the dial as quickly as you can, because there's no basis for saying that whatsoever. It's arbitrary and random, has no basis in reality, and shame on him. What does that number prove anyway? We don't know who is going to be reconciled to God. God knows those who are His own, and no one will snatch them out of His hand.
If we accept Christ, though, and want Christ, isn't that a work that we do? And then wouldn't that be a works gospel rather
no,
than grace?
In fact, there's a very clear distinction between faith and works, such that we know on a biblical basis that faith is not a work. The Holy Spirit woos us, and we can respond to the wooing of the Holy Spirit in faith, or we can reject the wooing of the Holy Spirit in rebellion.
Okay.
And the problem is not that we don't have light. Jesus made that clear to Nicodemus. Light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Right.
So ultimately, we are morally culpable if we reject the goodness and grace of God.
Oh, thank you so much. And one last quick one. Are we in the Great Tribulation at this point?
Let me suggest something. If you like to read, get a copy of the Apocalypse Code. It will lay all of that out for you.
Okay.
People start with presuppositions, and you have to unpack the presuppositions to get to the answer to that question.
Okay.
I do that in the book, The Apocalypse Code. And in the process, you'll learn how to read the Bible for all it's worth.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you for your call. I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, we'll continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on right now, please be patient. I'll get to you. If you're dialing in, start dialing right now. Here's the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. You can dial that number. For the next hour, I'll be taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll be playing my responses to your calls on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So start calling right now with your questions, 888-ASK-HANK, and I'll be here for the next hour answering those questions. Do remember the resources we've talked about on the broadcast, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, accessible on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So long for now.
It's not too much to say that truth is under siege in the postmodern world. So often, those who see truth as relative, subjective, or pragmatic are seen as tolerant and enlightened. Conversely, those who see truth as objective and grounded in the person and work of Jesus Christ are considered intolerant or even arrogant. As an organization, the Christian Research Institute will not compromise nor submit to political correctness, no matter the cost, because truth matters. We have the spiritual resources necessary for you to prevail in the battle for truth. CRI equips you with well-researched tools to identify truth from error, right from wrong. But we can't do this without your support. We need you to partner with us in prayer and with your financial gifts so together we can continue to impact the world with the transforming power that only Jesus Christ can offer. Will you stand with us today? Learn how to become a Bible Answer Man supporter by calling 888-7000-CRI or just go to our website at equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. Thank you for your prayers and support. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org.
That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271.